Composer John Basarthas came up with the music for a new double percussion concerto, The All-Seeing Sky, after reading Dante's Inferno. Big emotions and big ideas then are contained in the piece, which is composed for award-winning Swiss percussion duo Lukas Staffelbach and Fabian Ziegler. The concerto has been co-commissioned by Orchestra Wellington, Christchurch Symphony Orchestra and the Swiss City of Light Symphony Orchestra. John, the idea, the melody, the themes for All Seeing Sky, were these in your mind and you were waiting for the right musicians and the right opportunity? Or did this commission offering these two brilliant percussionists and their skills kind of suggest the composition when you were thinking about how to make the most of their musicianship? What was the order?
It's more the latter, which is that generally to start a piece, I clear things away, like I empty all my mind and my thoughts about what's going to happen. And it's really when I start on the piece, which is really just the first few bars of music, when I finally figure those out, I have a sense of what the piece is going to be. So it's a very, intuitive for me, slightly magical way of bringing together the space where I know that there are, as you say, these two incredible musicians. There's a work that has to be, you know, roughly whatever length for whatever forces. And then it's really just mix those together and what's going to happen. So it's more about finding out what the piece is going to be than having a predetermined idea.
You've worked with Fabian. I think this is your fourth project with Luca. This might be the first time. So, I mean, even when you were first working with Fabian, do you listen to their music a lot before you start your own composition to get a sense of their particular skills and their signature process or sound?
Yeah, that's a great question, and because the answer is it's probably not what you expect, which is that, I mean, yes, I do all that, of course. That's like, I don't know, due diligence or, the research that you have to do. But the way more important than that is actually getting to know the person or the people, like getting to know them in a personal sense, because it's more about their, their life energy, or what they're about and what their aspirations are and what kind of human being they are. I find that way more inspiring. And so the pieces that I've written specifically for people, which is nearly everything, you'll find in all of those pieces some kind of reflection of the person that I'm writing for. And I guess it's kind of taken for granted for me for a long time that I'm writing for amazing musicians, like amazing players. It's kind of, that's already there. But way, way more important for me is the individual and who they are as a person.
Fabian, as I mentioned, you've worked with John previously. For this work, for The All-Seeing Sky, did you ask him, now your friends, did you ask him for anything specific? Did you ask him to really push you? Or is it a gift that you will accept from John and you leave it to him? You trust him in that way?
I mean, I for sure 100% trust him. I think with John's music, you never need to tell him, I need to have something extremely hard and difficult because it anyway is going to be like this. but I didn't say so many things for this particular piece now. We just said because I see a lot of times that it's hard with percussion concertos to be programmed because they have a huge orchestra. So I think the only thing I told him was, please let's try not to have a too big orchestra behind us. Also with smaller institutions, which is just giving us more possibilities to play the piece.
Luca, is it like for you knowing that you've got, John creating this work, composing this work for you, and the first time that you see the score, even if it's a work in progress, knowing it's been created specifically for you, what's that like for you as a musician?
It's a super interesting moment. It's the moment that you're waiting a long time for it. I knew John as a composer for a longer time, I could play many works by him for percussion solo and also for chamber music. And of course, I know Fabian well, and I heard him play his works and the works he commissioned. And so I was really looking forward what's going to come to us, what this music will sound like. And the first time we had a talk about the piece, and then when we got the score and the first audio files, I mean, in between this time, I was super excited what's going to happen. And then when the moment comes, when we get an email with the first score, it's just exciting until we can have the concerts, one of the most exciting moments of the whole process.
Now, Fabian's already said he expected to be pushed because this is what John does. How about you? Are you feeling that this work is challenging for you in a good way?
It is challenging in a good way. At first, it's challenging like in technical aspects. It's hard to be able to play all the tones, but everything makes sense. And then it's also challenging to get like the right sound for me as a musician, and then with Fabian as my duo partner, that we are connected together.
John, what are you saying in this work? But I think that's a valid question with the all-seeing sky. It's a beautiful phrase. What's the tone of the work?
To be completely honest, you know, my outlook at the moment on the way things are is not entirely positive, you know, what's happening in the world and the direction that we look like we're going in. So when writing this work, I, being the kind of doom and gloom kind of person that I am, I was reading Dante's Inferno, you know, always a joy to read. And I found this book of engravings that I didn't know about by Gustave Doré. And they're engravings that are about scenes in Dante's Inferno. And I was just kind of mesmerized by these amazing illustrations. They're from a long time ago. And so I was kind of immersed in these things, in this feeling. There are three parts to the concerto. And the first one is called The Portals of Dis, D-I-S. And that's about arriving. You know, if you're going down to hell, it's actually about arriving there. And there's this whole process of you get on a boat, you cross the river Styx, and there are people like suffering in the water, and you get to the beach. And I just had this sort of feeling about, I mean, what would that actually be like? You'd be in that boat and you'd be thinking, oh wow, this is really happening. You know, this is a thing, it's happening. What would that feel like? So and then you would arrive, and I sort of had this idea that as you arrived on the beach, there'd be this fantastic fanfare, because the people there waiting for you would be really happy that you'd arrived. You know, they'd be really looking forward to your arrival. So it's this kind of very, very dark kind of vibe. So that's the first movement. The second movement is called The Upper World, which is really a depiction of, you know, in the Inferno, they walk through hell, but then they emerge and they come out to the upper world. But it wasn't a particularly positive idea for me. It was this idea that if you came out of hell and re-emerged in the world, you would maybe see a lot of similarities between where you've just been and where you've just emerged into, you know. So pretty, pretty dark. And then the third movement is called The All-Seeing Sky. And it's just a kind of reflection on this idea of surveillance, you know, that for a long, long time we've had this surveillance in our heads, like actually within our own minds, which has come from religion, you know, that one's thoughts, which is supposed to be the one thing people can't get to. Your thoughts are being monitored by a supreme being of some kind. But that now seems to have been superseded with technology, you know, that we are turning private life into a kind of public performance through social media and whatever. So, you know, it's about those things.
Fabian, listening to that, there's a lot of what would say meat in the themes that John is giving you. As you and Luca are playing, what are the emotions that come to you, given the gravity of what is John's looking at in this music?
I am working already quite long with John, so I got a little bit used to this those kind of topics. But I find it extremely interesting to play pieces which are having such a story behind, because for a lot of percussion music, there is no real story behind the music. And I just find it really interesting to know the story of the piece, and also to then find the ways how I think about which pictures I'm having in my mind if I'm playing certain parts of this piece. So actually just today when we rehearsed, we know about what the movements are, but I think we just had a completely different picturing in mind from certain parts of the piece than maybe John thought about when he composed it. So I think it's also a very personal thing. And what is interesting with stories behind the music is just that we can really try to tell the people this story, but without any words, in a musical way. And I find it always very interesting for the people, because it's way much easier to have an access to the music if they know, yeah, we're going here, we are in hell, we're going somewhere else now, that the people can really follow the music even better if they have some kind of background for it.
It is an interesting dynamic, John, isn't it? Because you've composed the work, but the musicians are equal partners in the work. So you must have some time sitting in a concert listening to an interpretation of what you've done. And as I say, perhaps they surprise you in what they bring to it. It's got to be the three of you, hasn't it, for this to work? Otherwise, if you're a composer who said you must play it in this way, there's no fun in that. There's no growth in that.
It's very true. I think it's part of the journey of the composer from becoming what I think of as immature or young, and entering into a kind of more mature way of thinking about it, which is that, you know, if you trust the musicians, which with Fabian and Luca I do in a technical sense completely, but I also trust them in a personal way, then really what happens is when you send off the piece, when you send off the score and maybe a demo recording from your computer or whatever, you realize what you're really doing is pushing a boat out into the water. It's going to go hopefully where you want it to go, but it's going to get there in its own way because other people are involved in the steering of that boat. And the amazing thing is with musicians as fantastic as Luca and Fabian, and you know, many of the musicians that I've worked with from the composing point of view, is that often I have things revealed to me about the pieces that I've written that I didn't know were there. And that is one of the great payoffs, you know, of the composing process.
Fabian, the percussion repertoire, I get a sense that it's exploded, might be too dramatic a word, but that, you know, in recent years with people like Dame Evelyn Glennie, that more composers are interested in creating work specifically for percussionists. Are you finding that?
That's for sure. And I think a pretty big role in the very beginning of it, as you said, played Evelyn Glennie, or also Peter Sadler from Germany, or Martin Grubinger from Austria. I just really find it really important to still keep talking to composers and commission new pieces, because we just don't have this history of music. We don't have works from Mozart or from Beethoven or all those big, great composers. What we can do is doing arrangements, which Luca is doing quite often and really amazing. But we don't have this repertoire what the violin or a piano is having. What I also find very interesting and important for us as performers, as percussionists, is that we also talk to the composers, that we work on the ideas with them. For John, it's pretty different because he has worked with percussionists for such a long time. But even though in those 4 years we were working together, I think we still tried to find new sounds, new mixtures. And in a way, if it's not the composer like John, I think it's also our job in a way as a percussionist to educate composers what is working great with percussion instruments, which are maybe new mixes or new instruments which they can use in the music. So I think it's also important not to just say, if I go to John and say, you know, I just want to have a piece, I also need to have an idea behind what I expect. And I need for sure be open to talk about all the different possibilities we have. And that's just a gift if you can work with a composer like John, which is just really, really open for a lot of things and is always trying also to push us the borders of what is existing already. And also for sure push the performers to the borders of their abilities, which is extremely interesting and also extremely we can also learn a lot from the pieces what he is writing. Maybe it's a completely different approach again to our instruments, or it's just another level of playing what we need to reach to be able to his music. And in the same time, what is for me extremely important and what I find in John's music is that in the end, we want to give the audience something they remember and something they can really relate to it if they're sitting in the concert. And I just really strongly have the feeling that John's music is really accessible for people, for an audience which is maybe not always going to a contemporary music concert and is kind of diving into this world, but you always have this kind of music which is attracting the people and which is also very useful for our instruments, because we're not known as a solo instrument yet as much as the violin is or the piano is, but with music like this we just really have the opportunity to get the people in the audience, to catch them and to let them think when they are walking out of the hall, that was so interesting, I need to find more percussion concertos, or I need to go to other concerts where is percussion involved as a solo or a chamber music instrument. And this is also what is important for us, that people are getting, wow, this is something interesting. It's not Mozart or it's not Brahms, but it's Psatas. It's interesting, it's new, it's catchy. And I think that's so satisfying if the people are coming after the concert saying, you know, that was something pretty new and I just enjoyed it.
Exciting for you, John, then, as a composer, perhaps to have these sounds that audiences don't know so well, you know, to work with the musicians to explore the versatility of their instruments. You love percussion.
Yes, I do. And it's so interesting to hear what Fabian has said, because from the composing point of view, you know, I'm kind of aware of the historical moment that we're going through, the percussionists and the composers right now. And a small part of this is that, you know, if you're writing a percussion concerto, it's different from writing a violin concerto, because then, you know, you've got Tchaikovsky's violin concerto on your back and the Beethoven concerto. You know, there's all this amazing repertoire that you're aware of. It's like writing a symphony, like where would you start? You know, there's that. But the thing is that today, living today, is going to be a composer who will become the Beethoven of percussion music. And, you know, from a future perspective, you know, there will be the composer who wrote the first great works for percussion. And I think that's this amazing environment I feel like I'm in, around this sort of creative output of a huge number of artists. So it's a very, very exciting time, because it's like an open playing field. Whereas if you're writing for any of the other well-established classical instruments, there's just so much weight of historical greatness that sits on you when you're writing the music.
Luca, just to wrap this up, I'm a very simple question, really. But what drew you to percussion of all the instruments you could have played? Because we've just been saying that perhaps percussion has been underappreciated for such a long time. But for you, what do you love about percussion?
I think what I love most about percussion are the opportunities this instrument has, because it's not just like a violin is a violin. And we all have a clear picture of a violin in our head. But if we talk about percussion, for me, it is everything. Each thing which is existing and on which we can beat or hit it with a stick or with a mallet or with our fingers, with our hand. I think this is the most impressive thing for me about percussion, that every thing can get to be percussion if it wants to. And we have the established modern instruments as the marimbaphone and the vibraphone, but the composers, what I think is also one of the things why it is so interesting to write for percussion, can like use whatever they want to add it to the instruments that are existing. And another thing for me is that, yes, it is very new instrument also for classical composers, but on the other hand, it's one of the oldest instruments existing, because in every cultural music there is the percussion, and we have instruments from cultures all around the world that now also composers can use, and they can use it to compose, and they have a huge tradition behind the instruments, but not behind the compositions and the classical percussion composing art or something like that. And I think it's because of these reasons percussion is so rich, and it has a lot of opportunities, and there's a lot happening and being created now, like new works. Also, what we are going to play next week is a work which, this percussion concerto is a new concerto, will be great.
Lukas Stathelbach and Fabian Ziegler will perform The All-Seeing Sky, a concerto by John Passathis, for the first time with the Christchurch Symphony Orchestra in Ōtautahi on the 14th of May, and then in Te Whanganui Atara with Orchestra Wellington on May the 21st.